Today on the show, we're talking about
the God of Blood.
Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Avery.
And I'm Caleb. And today, we are talking about, once again, Hades. Specifically Supergiant Hades. We're not talking about the Kingdom Hearts villain.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. No, the voice acting for Supergiant Games is really good, but, like, we also can't talk shit about James Wood. That's another part of the rule there.
Okay, alright, you set the respect, rules, respect for the Disney. Respect it. Okay.
Okay, so, it's on a shrine somewhere, probably. You gotta respect the Disney voice acting. But yeah, we are talking about Hades, which, years after release, like 4 years after its beta release, still one of my favorite games. Because I know Avery, you've been playing a bunch of it too.
Yeah, in the lead up to this episode, I was just like, let me just refresh my memory of Hades from the beginning, and I'm pretty sure I played like 6 hours just today. Because I just forgot like what an amazing game it is. And I just, yeah, big Greek mythology fan, so it's very much my jam, and I'm very excited to get to do an episode on it.
It holds up so well. Mm. But yeah, so that's what we're talking about today. Spoiler warning, if you haven't played the game, we are going to be discussing obviously the story, but we're also going to be talking about the ending. So kind of what we're going into today is how Zagreus's role as the God of Blood highlights the role he plays in the game itself. And this is something that's actually unique to Supergiant specifically, and is actually an element of Greek mythology that they specifically brought in, because this isn't a aspect that was within the existing, like, kind of mythos and lore. But him being specifically revealed as the game goes on as the God of Blood, or implied to be the God of Blood, really does highlight in the specific story that Supergiant's trying to tell these elements of his relationships with his friends and family, his personality, and his ultimately role in the underworld, what they're really saying about him as a character and how it all ties together. And so we're going to be going into that piece by piece and unpacking what that seemingly minor revelation of his title means. As always, we do love to hear from our listeners, so you can email at us at podcast@loreparty.com with your thoughts and episode ideas. And of course, you can connect with us on Instagram and Twitter, also at lore_party. We're going to take a quick minute for an ad break, and then we're going to get back.
Yeah, so I think as you just mentioned before the ad break, in terms of what Supergiant is bringing to the table with Hades, and that within kind of like, because I had a little bit of a look at this about the Greek mythology surrounding Zagreus. So I was like, I've never heard of Zagreus until I played Hades. Who the hell is he? And kind of seeing, you know, in wider Greek mythology that Zagreus is kind of like I think he's some kind of like early iteration of Dionysus. He's kind of not quite his own mythological figure. And so within Hades, there's this really interesting part where Zagreus, I think, comments to Achilles at one point that he's not the god of anything. And then I think it's kind of later on in the game, in relation to, I think it's the codex entry for Thanatos. And I think I actually missed this the first time I played. I just didn't really pay much attention to it. But Achilles kind of speculates in that codex entry that he thinks that Zagreus must be the god of blood and therefore of life. And that to Achilles, this is why Thanatos and Zagreus are so inexorably drawn to each other, with obviously Zagreus being, you know, the god of blood and of life, and Thanatos being the personification of death. And I think, yeah, as we're going to go through in this episode, we're going to kind of unpack like where that maybe comes from, and the different ways that we can consider Zagreus as the god of blood within the specific like lore and mythology of the Hades game.
Definitely, because they do also kind of cover some of the other aspects of Zagreus's mythology, because there are versions of the story where he is the son of Hades and Persephone, so that is something with at least some precedent. And like you commented about how in a lot of versions he's kind of an early iteration of Dionysus, they straight up joke about that in the game.
Yeah.
Once I found that and like put two and two together of what that joke was, I was rolling. But yeah, it really is like an interesting element of what they bring it in, and it's, you know, introduced as Achilles' theory, but there's actually like a lot of things supporting it, and I think like the first element of that really is his relationship with Thanatos.
Yeah, and I think within the game, like Achilles' Codex specifically is this really interesting like insight into things like that you might not necessarily be aware of when you're playing the game. Like, I just didn't pick up on the whole God of Blood thing. And it was only when you introduced this idea and I was like, oh my God, hang on a minute, you're right. And then as I'm going back and I'm replaying the game now from the beginning, and I'm suddenly catching all of these jokes and comments and all of these little insights into how they have built up this characterization of Zagreus that is really well done. And I think the Codex is kind of like pointing us in that direction in a way that we're not otherwise aware of.
Absolutely. And I think like dialing back to the Codex, the specific thing in the Codex that makes Achilles hypothesize it, because you mentioned it's in Thanatos's entry, and I think his relationship with Thanatos specifically is where a lot of that comes from.
So, yeah, the first time I played through, I didn't pay as much attention to Thanatos, but one of my friends who was playing, so obviously Thanatos, Teucer, and Meg are all romance options for Zagreus, and I was like, Meg's the one I want to romance, didn't pay any attention to anyone else. And one of my friends who's also queer, he was romancing Thanatos, and he was like, yeah, it's really interesting. And so I kind of came back to thinking about, okay, well, in Achilles' Codex, where he's speculating about this relationship between Thanatos and Zagreus, and kind of commenting on the fact that they've, you know, he says they're inexorably drawn to each other, even though within the game, like, they're quite different to one another. So obviously, if we have Thanatos as death and Zagreus is life, Zagreus is kind of this very, like, warm, he's very chatty, he's our protagonist, so we're always there with him. Whereas Thanatos is a little bit more cold, he's quite sulky, he throws tantrums quite a lot, he kind of materializes a little bit, you know, silent in the way that he kind of hangs around, and then he just, you know, disappears. And so those two kind of differences in personality, I think, are really interesting that they're still drawn to each other. When I was doing a little bit more research about this, so obviously, like, I am really interested in, you know, ancient Greece and Greek mythology, I came across this kind of really interesting concept, which was looking at within ancient Greek, there are different kinds of love. And then, so we have like Eros, which is associated with Meg and that kind of desire and kind of flirtatious banter. And then we have another form which is called philia, which is associated more with Teucer, and that's kind of more like this mutual relationship, this mutual friendship. And I think with the Teucer romance, I think that's also really interesting, because when Zagreus kind of develops a romance with her, she will make comments towards the end of like, oh, I do like you, but I'm not sure I like you like that. Whereas with Thanatos, there's this kind of concept called agape, which is regarded as like the highest form of love within ancient Greece, and also I think it within Christianity. And for me, as someone who's really interested in Achilles I thought it was very interesting that Achilles is the one that is commenting on this form of love between Thanatos and Zagreus, especially because within Supergiant's Hades, they have the relationship between Achilles and Patroclus. And within that kind of lore around Achilles and Patroclus, it's constantly remarked upon that, like, their relationship transcends love. It's something that no one else could understand, but they could see that it was a very deep connection that they both shared with each other. So then when Achilles is the one that's commenting on this relationship with Thanatos and Zagreus, I thought that was also a really interesting, like, way of tying in those different kinds of queer romances that we have within the game.
I think definitely it kind of shows what it is, but it also really underlines the way that those differences really do tie into the symbology as well. Because keeping in mind that initial theory of Zagreus being the god of blood, you know, there is that element of it where it also makes him, in a sense, indirect, at least indirectly, the god of life, at least to whatever degree Thanatos would be the god of death. The fact that their theming matches their actual stories is just a really interesting element of how this approach to the characters is. I think, like, on top of that, like, it follows up with a lot of how the, I guess, the family dynamic of it goes, too. Because, like, on top of, like, the comparison to Achilles and Patroclus, there's also a really interesting comparison that Zagreus and Thanatos have in Persephone and Hades.
Yeah, when I was kind of thinking about this a little bit more as well in terms of that relationship that Zagreus has with his parents and this kind of theorization of Zagreus as the god of blood, I think Zagreus represents someone who is, I guess, on the border between life and death in a way that I think Thanatos is also quite similar on the border between life and death, because Thanatos also leaves the underworld. He goes out and he collects souls above, you know, on the surface when people are dying. And when I was kind of thinking about, well, Hades is, you know, obviously the god of the dead, and then Persephone within the Hades game, in her codex entry, she's regarded as the goddess of vegetation. And when we're thinking about that as well, like, this idea of vegetation as something which is, you know, living, it grows, it's new. And Zagreus kind of sits very interestingly in the middle of both of them as the god of blood. And then when I was kind of having a look through the game with this kind of idea of god, the Zagreus being the god of blood in mind, there were also these really interesting nods as well that I came across. So when I was fighting, I think it's Alecto, the first time you fight her, she makes this comment about, like, ooh, I can't wait to see you bleed or something, because you have red blood like a mortal. Even though Zagreus is a god, he's not like a demigod in a way of, like, one of his parents is a human and one of his parents is a god. And everyone seems to have this fascination with his blood as well.
Yeah, and it really ties into, again, just that element of him. And, like, when you... it's stuff that you don't really think about until you get that comparison, the Achilles-specific theory of him being the god of blood. With that, though, we are going to take an ad break. And by an ad break, I mean we're going to walk through and do a quick run of Hades and be back once we die. Yeah, okay, I died in the first room. I think I went too high up on the heat.
I wish, I forget how long, if you run through to Elysium, how long it takes. I'm like, let me do a quick run of Hades, and like an hour later, I'm still there, just like, this was not quick.
What gets me all the time is that before I realize it, I'm out on a second run. Like, it's almost just muscle memory that as soon as I die, I just dash over to the next and try again.
Yeah, because once you know, die and you come back, you're like, oh, let me run around the house and have my conversations with everyone. Or let me just go into the bedroom and look in the mirror. Or somehow I've ended up in the weapon room. Oh, I guess we're going again.
Segueing from that, though, that really is tied into Zagreus's personality as well, is that he as a character is someone who is constantly in motion. And this is both kind of going from the gameplay element of it, but also just in an element of his character. He's impatient. He is constantly taking initiative. If he sees either himself or other people stuck, he feels uncomfortable with that and acts to break it, sometimes acts inappropriately to kind of break the impasse, which this is something that's actually highlighted repeatedly throughout the game as largely contrasting with the literal immortal people that he's surrounded with. Is these are people who have been used to nothing changing for thousands of years, and Zagreus is someone who, in a lot of ways, like, hates the idea of things never changing. And I don't know if this is a take that you also had when you replayed the game, but Zagreus tends to get talked to a lot as if he's this, like, openly disrespectful, like, rebellious, like, angry, spiteful, like, teenager. But, you know, as much as he is, like, a very kinetic person and a very impatient person at times, he isn't a usually mean or rude or disrespectful person. Like, at least not the majority of the time. And the handful of people he is rude to, he gives a fair shake before he starts talking shit at them. Theseus.
Yeah, I think it's when we are encountering different characters, and I think it's kind of a little bit more obvious in a sense of, like, well, of course Hades is going to say these things about Zagreus because he just hates everything Zagreus does. And yeah. The same with Meg. It's like she's a little bit more, you know, has a little bit more animosity towards Zagreus. She's a bit pissed off by him. Mm-hmm. But even when you are overhearing conversations, you know, when you have two characters who come together and you can, like, listen to their conversation, I noticed that even between, like, Nyx and Achilles, so in my run today, I listened in on a conversation, and it was, yeah, along those similar lines of kind of commenting on how, like, impatient Zagreus is, and, you know, framing him more within that kind of, you know, he's a little bit impatient, he's a little bit rude, he's always in a rush kind of thing. So even to the people who love him the most, they are also thinking about him like that. Whereas me as the player, like, I have never gotten that impression of Zagreus. I would never be like, oh yeah, Zagreus is really rude or really sassy. Like, he's kind of cheeky and he makes little comments, but he's not directly like, shut up and go away, apart from obviously to Theseus, who is just in a whole, you know, other camp, as he should be. He should be on his own over there.
He needs to be in therapy is what Theseus needs. But anyway, circling through all that, though, I think what it really comes down to is this idea of not only is Zagreus someone who is constantly seeking and pursuing a change and is himself changing throughout the story, I think the way a lot of people talk about him being incongruent with who you see him as at the start of the game is, I think, also an indicator that he's been changing. He's already not the person that he was. I think that's really what my takeaway is the fact that everyone talks about him like he's constantly being rude at people, but we don't see him as rude because that's a thing. He's already changed because he is kind of with that God of Blood element of him really does kind of bring and personify, like, change and emotion and not just life, but the kinetic moving parts of life. And that really ties into, I think, the last element of this. And I think that this, for me, is when I noticed it in the game, the thing that really nailed for me the idea of Zagreus being the God of Blood, which is the very specific way that he moves through the underworld, which is that he moves cyclically. He follows the literal rivers, like the streams, as if they were veins or arteries, moves along them and follows them throughout his journey, and is constantly moving in a circle. And even after the game's story, this is something that he continues doing as kind of a aspect of maintenance. in his individual journeys with a lot of people, that his motion is the thing that brings health and life and, I guess, emotional nutrients to other people. And, like, he very much is functioning as kind of the circulatory system of the underworld, as it were. Like, he is bringing these messages, bringing these, like, words of encouragement, and bringing this change as he travels in a circle, in a cycle. And he's doing this unintentionally at first in his attempts to escape, but then even after you do get to the, you know, spoiler final ending, and he, you know, gets his big boy job of running through the underworld in circles, that's really the element of it that he does and that he brings in.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point you make about, like, the rivers as well, and that following of the rivers and following of the streams, because it's another thing that I hadn't noticed, even though I got up to the point of, like, fishing. And then when you mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah, because that's why you can fish, because you're always following that river. And I also really liked thinking about it in terms of, like, the blood cycle. And I did a little bit of research about this because I was like, am I understanding how blood works properly?
I was going to say, just so viewers know, the entire way this episode was prepared is I suggested the topic and then Avery did all of the research. So everything you like about this episode, Avery is the reason it turned out smart.
I mean, I don't know that we can say that because you were almost, you're the muse. You came up with the good ideas and I just came in and was like, here's some research that I did based off of your idea. So really, it's the perfect team, is it not?
Yeah, my contribution was the title and your contribution was all of the rest of it. So,
well, it was also because my partner studies science, so I was just like, if I'm gonna talk about blood and the science of blood, I need to make sure I'm right, because otherwise she will never let me live it down.
Yeah, that's not something you'll ever hear the end of.
No, and I don't want that living on the internet forever. It's like, hey, remember that episode where Avery just completely misunderstood how the body works, as though they never, you know, took basic biology or something.
You know, cycling back around, pun intended, like I said, all of this keeps in mind that this really does become Zagreus's kind of final role through the game, is that he's moving cyclically through the underworld, specifically for the purpose of helping maintain it, but this also really does tie into his personality and his relationships with the other people. Zagreus isn't just the god of blood. He is, like, functionally the blood of the underworld. And I think, like, that's really where a lot of this ties in, and that's what makes so much of this game really interesting when you, like, look at it through that angle that Achilles mentions in passing at the bottom of a codex entry. Like,
yeah, and I think, again, like, it's one of the things that once I kind of caught onto and went back to the codex and looked at the codex entry, like, it's reframed the entire way that I play the game and that I understand the game and this role, as you said, that Zagreus plays. And I think especially with that kind of idea of, like, the god of blood, Zagreus is changing everything about the underworld. He's bringing people back together. He's, you know, clearing out all those pesky shades, like the really horrible rats and stuff that they don't want. He's bringing this, like, almost, this breath of fresh air. He's oxygenating and bringing life back to it.
He's changing the color of the lounge carpet.
He's changing the color of the lounge carpet, adding some candles. And I think, that imagery at the beginning of the game of him emerging from that pool of blood is just so evocative of who he is and how we understand him within the game.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.